Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a New Day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
Well, happy Sunday, each and every one of you. I tell you, I feel privileged that you have made the decision to join us for this amazing conversation today. I know you could have made the choice to be watching your TV and watching something else. That's a lot of people around the world is probably watching, but you understand the importance of who you are and investing in yourself. And for that, we are honored. I want to remind you that the chat room is up and running. So join us there so you can be part of the conversation. If you have not yet done so, I want you to remind your network that we saved a seat for them. So ask them to join us here. For those of you who are not able to join in the chat room, you can call in via telephone, and the number is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. And while I am at it, I want to extend an invitation to you to join me on Twitter at Dynamic Daphne, facebook.com/ Daphne Clark - Hudson. And please visit my website at Daphne Clark Hudson empowers.com. Tell you, I am very, very, very super excited about the conversation that is about to take place. And I will be bringing live to you momentarily my honored guest who has been hanging out with me in the virtual green room. But before I do that, I would love to play our theme song.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a I want to be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes they won't understand.
You know, it was approximately maybe 6 months ago, I was surfing on the web, and I came in contact with an amazing story about a phenomenal gentleman who had spent a year in silence. And it touched my heart, and I read this story. Well, little did I know that I would be in the presence of that gentleman. And although I was in his presence, in the same environment, in the same space, in the same room, I still did not know that that was the person. But I tell you, you oftentimes have heard me mention how generous and faithful the universe is. And this story is so phenomenal, and you'll hear that although we were in the same space and we acknowledged each other, we didn't take, but I am so grateful to the universe for what is going to happen today. Rodolfo Young is an international author. He's also a TEDx speaker. He's a transformational heart coach. And mostly, he is a man on a mission. After a full year in silent practice, Rodolfo is now on a mission to inspire and share with 1 million hearts through his inspirational talks, books, and social media. Rodolfo is quickly reaching hearts around the world. And to learn more, if you have not yet done so, because we had these links posted for approximately a week now, later on, you can visit all the links that are listed below. But for right now, I just want you to chime in and be part of this conversation. Again, the number that you can call to be live on air with us is 646-915-8166. And without any further ado, I want to welcome my honored guest, Mr. Rodolfo Young. Hello, Rodolfo. How are you, my brother?
Hi, Daphne. I'm doing well. Thank you for welcoming me in with such an amazing introduction. I'm really happy to be here.
Oh, I am so blessed to have you here. You know, and I tell you, we cannot always plan the way that the universe wants to work with us. We just have to be willing and to show up and be ready to do what the universe wants of us. And today is no exception. So I honor you and I thank you for your willingness to invest in the journey and the mission that I'm on. And I just pray that by us doing this today, that we'll be able to touch even one more heart. Because if we touch one more heart, then we have three hearts, and then we'll keep building on that. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
My pleasure.
Please tell us who Rodolfo Young is. We want to start from the beginning. As far back as you would like to start, tell the people who you are.
Well, let's see. If we go back to my time in San Diego, California, that's where I grew up. At some point, I had a pretty major epiphany, and it kind of woke me up. I think of it almost as if, imagine you've been living life underneath a river, and so everything's looked blurry and like it's just rushing past, and you're just running around trying to grasp onto whatever you can to try to keep up with the flow and with the current. And all of a sudden, my head and my body just came bursting out of the water, and I could see the world clearly. When that happened, it was one of those big aha moments, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners out there have had those moments where something about their life in that instance becomes so purposeful, so clear, and so passionate about, wow, this is the truth for me right now. And I had that moment. And from that, I immediately started to go into a speaking career. I was still in college at the time. I was an undergraduate student. And I remember I went into the dean's office of the religious studies department, which is what I was studying at the time. And I went to her and I said, I'd like to teach a class. Here I am, this undergrad student. I'm not even a graduate student. I have no degree or anything. And I'm saying, can I teach a class here at the university? And he kind of looked at me like, no.
Who is this kid? Yeah.
And,
you're crazy.
I explained to her that I was just so incredibly inspired. And I'd also just completed a 10-day Vipassana meditation course, which there are these 10-day meditation programs where you spend 10 days in silence. You don't speak. You don't make eye contact. You just sit and you meditate for about 10 to 11 hours a day. It's incredibly intense, and you go deep. Well, so I was explaining to the dean of the religious studies department, I said, well, I just did this program, and I'm just really inspired. I've got all these insights and things coming into my head that I want to share with people. I know that I wouldn't be paid for it. I'm not looking for the pay here at the university. I just want to share this message with people. And she kind of looked at me, and she felt bad because politically she literally just couldn't give me a classroom because it's not available asset to give. She said, why don't you go to one of the local churches or, you know, one of the social clubs or something. Maybe they'll give you a space. I said, okay. I was unperturbed. I'm on a mission, and I know I'm going to get to share this message of truth of just finding your own vision of the world with clarity. I knew I was going to get to do that. Well, as I'm walking out of the room, she turns and she goes, but wait, I'm just curious because you seem so inspired and unstoppable in this. Why? And I turned and I said, well, I just did this Vipassana course. And her eyes light up. She goes, you do Vipassana? I said, yes, I just did a course. She said, I do Vipassana. Hold on.
Wow.
She gets on the phone. This goes perfect with what you intro'd with of how amazing the world is to us, where we get clear on our passion, what we want in life. She gets on the phone, and about 5 minutes later, I had a smart classroom that could fit 300 people for the rest of the year at the university.
Wow.
And that
showing up
is where I began.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Yes. Can you imagine if you had not pursued what you believe in, what you were passionate about at the time? Can you imagine what would have happened if you suppressed it?
Oh, I would have continued living a life of doing what the masses do, which
mediocre.
Is not listening, and mediocre. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes I call it playing small, but really
exactly.
It's just not playing. You're not
that's
actually
right.
Showing up to your
yes.
life. You're showing up to life.
Yes.
Not your
conforming to what society want or what the rest of the world want.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, and I don't know why I'm going to mention this, but I think part of my obedience, my last episode I was on live, someone called in, and we got into a dialogue about the present topic that I was discussing. And I said to her, oh, I want to personally invite you to come to Sunday's episode. And I was so excited about the episode, you know. My guest is someone who had spent 1 year in silence. And she hit me from the blind side. She said, oh, he's a foreigner. I said, that's what I said, just like that, huh? And then I recoup and I said, well, as far as I know, his parents lives in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And then she followed up with the statement saying, oh, yeah, because he's Indian or something, because he's all those people that would do stuff like that. And
yeah,
I pondered the rest of the day about the statement. Because here is someone I'm looking at who is supposedly a leader in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And that, because to me, and I pray that I'm not saying this from a judgmental point of view, but I was surprised the way that she responded to the invitation.
Mm-hmm.
And to prejudge the message that's going to come, because I mean, regardless of the messenger, I think we ought to listen to the messages, regardless of who the messengers are. But it's interesting about the world that we live in, you know?
Yeah.
So I just want to thank you, and I want to also honor that professor too for her obedience, because she too could have suppressed what she felt when you turn your back to walk out to go find a venue. But she too was obedient. So I hope that the listeners will take out of this that it doesn't matter when your support comes, just take it. Don't question why you change your mind, but just grasp the opportunity and move on.
Yeah.
So you moved on, you took that opportunity, and let's talk about that first event you did at the campus.
You know, right after that, I went ahead and I started giving weekly classes. And I would have all sorts of different people come. I would advertise by just putting flyers and posters up and, you know, inviting my friends. And I think that's where it starts, is we start to share our message with the people who are closest to us. And each time that I speak about sharing your message, what I'm really speaking about, because this is what I coach on, is helping people find their authenticity, their purpose, and their passion. And so your message is just you being you. It's you sharing the things that matter to you. It's you sharing your thoughts about the world and the way you see it, and inviting other people to share their way with you.
Exactly, exactly.
So that's how I was running these classes. Mm-hmm. And I remember one day, this has always stood out to me, this elderly woman who had come to a few of the classes, she must have been, oh, I'd say late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd sit there and she'd just look at me and she'd be listening intently. And one day, finally, about three classes down, she raises her hand and she goes, look, honey, I've got to tell you, what you're saying is it's beautiful, it's nice, but it's unrealistic. Look, I've lived a very long time, and I know that certain things just don't change. There's certain stones, you live away, and that's how it is, and this and that. And I sat for the next 10 minutes trying to share with her and the rest of the class how things are always changing. That it's our stories and our perspective and the way we're perceiving it that may not change.
That's right.
And so she kept going. She was very stubborn about wanting to say, no, it's just this way, because that's unfortunately how she had lived. That's what had been taught to her in her life.
Yes.
And what I finally did, I said, ma'am, do you mind if I call you up here to the front of the room and we do something and maybe, just maybe, it'll change your mind?
Mm-hmm.
She said, sure, honey, you can try whatever you want. I know what I'm So she comes up to the front of the room, and there was a table up there, and there was a box on the table. And it was, the box was, you know, had a lid on it and all these other things. And so she stood on one side of the table, and I was on the far side. And I said to her, I want you to reach inside the box, but don't touch the box. I want you to reach inside, but don't touch the box.
Mm.
She looks at me, she looks at the box, and she's kind of scanning it, trying to figure out, you know, what I'm talking about. And she finally goes, honey, there's no way I'd have to remove the lid. I have to open the box to reach inside it. And that means I have to touch it, unless I have you touch it. No. You can do it. I'm telling you right now that the possibility exists.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see it yet. The possibility exists.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, honey, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm standing right here. I'm looking at it. There's no possible way that what I see can change. I can't reach inside the box if I don't touch the box. And then, how about you come and stand where I'm standing for a moment?
Mm-hmm.
So she walks around the table and she stands where I'm standing. Now, on the other side, the box is wide open. It wasn't closed on my side.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked, and she just looked at me, and her jaw kind of dropped. And I could see in her eyes the shift in perspective, realizing that sometimes the only reason it seems impossible is because of where we're standing and looking from.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's what I love about not only sharing what your purpose and your message is, but also to invite that of others, because it gives you that other perspective. It gives you multiple perceptions. And I like to imagine it like a crystal, and you're inside the crystal looking at the many facets and faces of the crystal that have each their own unique reflection of the same thing, the this moment right now.
Yes. Oh, what a phenomenal story. I want to take this opportunity to welcome guests 1757 and 1766 to the show. Please feel welcome to chime in at any moment. You can type your messages or comments or remarks in the bottom portion of the box, and also you may call in by dialing 646-915-8166. And I see our distinguished guest is also hanging out in the chat room. Thank you. Thank you for being part of the show. So, again, you are listening, or you were listening to the voice of my distinguished, honored guest, Rodolfo Young. He's the amazing gentleman who spent a complete year in silence. We have an hour and 8 minutes remaining, so please don't wait for the end to call in with your questions. We welcome them during the conversation. So, you have been on this journey for a long time. How long have you been on this journey?
I'd say I've probably been on this journey of both personal growth and also living as best as I can my purpose. At least 15, maybe up to 20 years now. After I started to do more of a speaking and teaching role in San Diego, I also started to study massage therapy and body work, and ended up being certified in about 21 different styles. Went up, opened a holistic community center there, and held that for about 2 years. I was able to help and share with thousands of people in the San Diego community. Oddly enough, at the same time, because I was in university at this time, and to get the college money to go to university, I had joined the military. So I spent 6 years in the U.S. Army Reserve Special Ops, which was not really a first choice. I just kind of fell into it. And in that, I really got to see something in the world. I did travel. I did go to war. I was in Operation Iraqi Freedom. And I was able to see what separation consciousness does to the world. I was able to literally witness what it is that causes people to wage wars, to battle over relations and politics and all these other things. And it has nothing to do with the possessions of the land or anything material like oil or money. It has everything to do with thinking that the other is separate from you. If separation consciousness wasn't there, then you couldn't do that to somebody else. You can't even hold a grudge. Like, it just doesn't happen. And so when I opened my center in San Diego, it was called the Center for Connection, because that was everything that I was doing, was to help people come back to themselves and then know how to connect from there through resonance with the people around them. Since then, I've now... did you have a question?
Yeah, before you go on, I want to piggyback on being in war. How did your mindfulness living style facilitate you being there and being effective?
Yeah, I think it saved my life. I was lucky enough not to ever be in direct combat. We were close enough that we could hear things. We could hear gunfire and bombs and all sorts of things. I was with a detachment that I actually can't speak about live. Top secret clearance while I was there. But where I was, because of the fact that the energy, the stress of the moment, of being at war and all those things was there, I was watching a lot of my fellow soldiers really lose it. You hear a lot about soldiers that come back from war and having terrible post-traumatic stress disorders and things like
that.
Well, I went through a lot of the stuff that I understand why they would have that. What saved me is that every evening I would be sitting in the very back of a tent that would hold about 20 of us. We had big tents with 20 cots. And I'd be in the very back of the tent meditating. I'd sit down and going full lotus position and very much look like an Indian Swami. And I would just meditate. And it allowed me to find peace even in war. It allowed me to connect. Because here's the thing, when I talk about connection and I talk about how there's this separation of consciousness in the world, it doesn't mean that we all need to run out and connect with each other. What we have to do first is connect with ourselves.
You know, Rodolfo, this morning I was listening to Super Soul Sunday with Oprah. And she had Bill Johnson, I think his name is, on there. And I was floored when he shared that during his time as a coach, when he worked with like Michael Jordan and those guys, what he did for that team, I think it was the Lakers and whatever team Michael Jordan played for, what he used there was mindfulness. And I said, you know, when you go out there, when you and I go out there and we talk about meditation, we talk about yoga, and we talk about all the other spiritual practices, a lot of people in the religious community look and said, oh, you New Age and you this and you that. There are so many stigma that is connected. Yeah. And I look, I said, my Lord, look at that. They are out there, a lot of them, they are giving up their lives for these football teams, and they are not understanding that they are realizing and utilizing their connectiveness. And he said he knew that to be an excellent and effective coach was that he needed to give up control. And he said he lives his life with three important aspects. He learned from an early part of his life, he learned to give up control. He learned to trust the moment. And he has learned to live in compassion. And he says, this is the way he lives his life. And the people around him, that's what he teaches them to do. And this is why his life is so effective.
Nice.
So there's so much more of mindfulness and connectiveness and centeringness going on out there than we can imagine if we would only choose to be open and to be receptive to that which we don't know. Can you imagine how much we would have enhanced our lives?
Truly. It's interesting because I definitely over my life have come to see and discover so many hidden mindful lives, like people that are living in a very natural way, mindfully, or in industries or fields, like even the military. And I've got a great story for this, where people are living mindfully. I remember when I came back from war, we were stationed at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and the commander who was assigned to us, he was a new commander to us. He'd been in the military for most of his career, and he was a major. And he would come in every morning and storm through the office. Just, he was a big man. Pounding his feet as he'd come through, and he'd go in his office and slam the door, and then he'd be in there for like an hour. Then he'd come out and yell at somebody, and they'd go, well, and this is common, you know, this is military kind of protocol. And one day, or actually 1 week, he had sent out a memo to everybody saying, hey, I want to know what you do in your civilian lives, because most of us had been deployed out of a reserve unit. So I want to know what you do so I know what skills we can use outside of what you've been trained in the military. So, of course, my skills were meditation, yoga, massage therapy. I'm going, I'm going to be honest, I'll put it down there, but man, I'm probably going to get, you know, razzled for this later. Well, the very next day after I'd sent in my responses to what I do and what my skill sets were, he comes out of his office. He comes in his normal fashion, yelling and screaming, and slams the door, and then he pokes his head back out, and he goes, Maxwell's young. Get in here. And I'm going,
wow.
No. Now I'm in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I walk in. He closes the door. And all of a sudden, what I had become used to as being this like really gruff, gruff man, his whole
mm-hmm.
demeanor softens, becomes gentle. He has this big smile on his face. And he goes,
wow.
You meditate too? Oh, man. Every morning, that's what I do for the hour. I'm sitting here and
that,
I meditate.
Oh, my Lord.
And I get ready for the day so I can go back out there and yell at you guys.
Oh, my heavens.
And so the day after that, we would meditate together in his office.
Wow. What a story. Oh,
you know,
what a story. Ah, I want to remind the listeners to call in 646-915-8166. So you spent a majority of your lifetime here in the U.S. You serve the military. We want to thank you for that.
Yeah.
And you later on got the urge, after all the phenomenal work you were doing in San Diego, you got the urge to move to a different part of the world, and you
mm-hmm.
were very obedient in following suit. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so back in, I think it was 2009, due to many different reasons, I closed the center that I had in San Diego, and I took
mm-hmm.
off on a world tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was just going to go for a year and then come back and reopen the center. But as I went, when I got to Bali, Indonesia, it just
mm-hmm.
felt like home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up, I did come back to San Diego. I packed up my things, and 6 months later, I moved indefinitely to Bali.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been living there for the past 5 years. I'm back in the States now after all that time, and I'm here for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But in Bali, what I began to do and dive into was
mm-hmm.
my own journey, because I had for so many years when I was working with the Center for Connection, my center in San Diego,
mm-hmm.
I had moved from practitioner of my practices and a mindful person in life to kind of being a business administrator, trying to
mm-hmm.
maintain what I was building, trying to hold on to everything that I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned since then that, you know, you have to really listen and to be obedient, like you're saying, to what calls you in the moment. Because
mm-hmm.
that's the only thing that's going to actually be fully aligned for you and effortless then.
That's
and
right.
So at that time, I let go of the center. I went to Bali. I started to create some stuff, and I started to find clarity about what was aligned for me. And
mm-hmm.
that took many different routes and pathways and journeys. And, you know, there's probably many more radio shows that we could go on to.
Oh,
cover.
Yeah. I know there are many more, many, many more shows. Yes, 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 yes. I remember the when I first learned about you and the silence and adventure was
mm-hmm.
when you did that small retreat that took place in the place looked like it was a castle. I think you had maybe 9 or 10 people attending that retreat, and that was when I first read about you, because I was clicking through and I saw that. I want you to hold that thought. I have a caller. I want to go to them and not have them wait too long. Would you hold hold the thought there? Hello, caller. Your last 4 digits are 9761. Would you tell us your name and where you're calling from, please? Hello, caller. If you are just listening, you could let me know that too. Okay, well, they hung up. They were probably just listening. Well, I would not have known that. That's okay. Call back just in case you were accidentally dropped off. Yes, so I think that retreat maybe was after you ended the silence. So
possibly. Depends on the year.
Yeah, I don't recall the year now. Let's talk about what led you to going into silence for a complete year.
Yeah. As you've heard so far of kind of the adventures in my life up until mm-hmm. moving to Bali, Things were always very spontaneous, driven from the heart, purposeful, a lot of service to community, and a lot of, let's say, spiritual practices and living in that kind of a lifestyle. And I get to Bali. I'm out there for a couple of years. I got into a relationship at the time, and I was at the peak of my career in my life. Mm-hmm. I had just given a TEDx talk, and so mm-hmm. my speaking career was going to the next level. I was actually in negotiations with a group and with the governor of Bali to launch this massive campaign to help make Bali a more eco-friendly and organic island.
Mm-hmm.
We were just doing all sorts of different things, and life was great. And then just to put the cherry on the top of the cake, my girlfriend at the time came to me and said, I'm pregnant. And in that moment, I realized something about everything else that I had done in my life. All the practices, all the exercise, all the insights and wisdom and retreats and workshops and travels, they were shadowed in the immensity of thinking, I get to be a father. I get to feel what it is to be so devoted to a life and so full in my heart that it overwhelmed anything else I'd ever done in my life.
Wow.
And so that's where I was, and it just, I didn't think life could get better. Unfortunately, that year did not end on that high note.
Wow.
I like to say that everything that flies high also must come down. This is the dynamic of physics in our world. And it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It just means you have to learn how to fall gracefully.
That's right.
And I had not learned that yet. And so I fell flat on my face.
Mm.
At the end of that year, my girlfriend at the time lost the baby to a miscarriage. The stress and the emotional strain from that caused us not to really be able to stay together. It was just too difficult.
Mm.
But most of all, what I had lost was my confidence.
Yeah.
All the things that I had lined up, the speaking gigs, or this and that, all of it just came crashing down because I just didn't have the energy or the sense of purpose anymore. And I realized something very quick, because it's something I often talk to my clients about, is that, you know, when you're hitting rock bottom or when something has shifted so dramatically in your life, you might often want to fill that gap with external. What needs to happen then is a deep internal journey to see not where you can fix yourself, but to realize where you never were broken.
You
and
know,
so that's why.
That is powerful. That's powerful. You know, I'm kind of listening to me talk coming through you here, because there are often times I tell my clients, I said, you have to understand that you need to be so firm that no matter how strong the wind is, you can allow the wind to bend you as low over, but you got to be so solid that you are never rooted up. So when we learn the lessons right, we bend over like a palm tree, low, low, low. But the minute the wind stops, we come right back up and we are ready to go. So I think you so eloquently illustrated that to us. And I see the 1 year adventure, and I have been referring to it as a 1 year retreat, a 1 year silent retreat, is what has now allowed you not to be rooted up regardless of what happens. So let's talk about you deciding you're going to do this. You start making the plan. And now take us on the journey.
Mm-hmm. Well, the decision, like the idea had come to me maybe a couple months before I did it. But the actual decision to go silent for a year That came within a week, and it was literally I decided, and then a week later, I went silent. And like I said, it was because I realized if I didn't take a journey inward, then I was going to distract myself, and I was going to do all sorts of things that weren't really going to allow me to spring back as that palm tree. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to do an entire year, because I had done other practices of silence with the Vipassana retreats, with different courses, where I'd gone for maybe 10 days, up to 30 days. But you always kind of have an end in mind. So you know, oh, okay, I'm 5 days in, I only have five more days. And so you don't really dive in very deep. With an entire year, you just surrender. You just kind of go, okay, this is going to be
I surrender all.
I'm just going to surrender. And my life now is silent. It's not I'm doing a practice or I'm in a retreat. It's, okay, my life is silent now. And that way you don't even think about the time. And so I went into that year, and what I discovered was a few things. You know, throughout the year, there was a lot of comical moments of misinterpretation of gestures and miming, and, you know, I became a master of charades. There was also an amazing discovery of how much we really communicate through our body, through our energy, through our, you know, presence, especially. I often would post, because I was still on online media at the time, I would post that you have to approach people with a smile and eye contact. But if you only did one, it was kind of creepy. But you had to approach them with a smile and eye contact, because otherwise they didn't know it was okay to interact. And so that's how I was. I was fully social and engaged in my life as if nothing had changed. The only thing that was omitted were words, vocal words. I continue to hold retreats and workshops. I continue to coach. I continue to go to functions and events and friendly gatherings. I continue traveling. I even did, you know, quasi-talks where I would stand in front of people and silently point at, you know, a presentation and walk them through things with my gestures. And it was amazing to find that the comprehension, the attention, the amount of presence people could give back in that
was and
often more than what they would get if they were just listening to words.
Yes, and you know, the reason we are not more engaged in the silent practices is out of fear, because I have done in the past retreats, and the longest I've ever gone silent has been 3 hours, right? And you'd be surprised to see how people are freaking out for the 3 hours, because it's new and they just cannot allow themselves to participate in that because of the fear. Because we are part of such a busy community, so much noise taking place, and it suppresses what's going on inside of us because we are not allowing ourselves to hear that. And I know that during the times when I am silent, whether it's for 30 minutes or an hour or up to the 3 hours max that I've ever done in my lifetime, I come out so much better for it. During those times when I've done those activities at my retreats, people have written poetry, they have wrote songs, they come up with different design, art design, or people that are clothing designers, they come up. You would be amazed to see what can come out of it.
Very true, very true. I would say multiple books have come out of this silence for me. Totally new way to approach the way that I interact with people and the way that I coach programs, different. So much inspiration to share with the world has come out of this. And in the very end, when I was finishing the year of silence, it was funny because I actually, I'm at the very end. It's like 1 week till I can speak again. And I started to get really frustrated. I started looking around me and noticing that I was being really judgmental. And I hadn't been that for so long because I had been so deep in my own journey. And I finally realized that I was looking around and judging because I was unhappy and I was judging myself for something. So I asked, what is it that I'm judging myself about? And I realized, and this was so powerful for me, I thought I had failed. I thought that after a year of silence, to go in and discover my heart, to discover, you know, all these things and to heal and all the you know, that the whole intention of being silent for an entire year, that I had failed. Because I had set a goal, or I had set a something I thought would happen if I was being that.
Yes.
And I thought I would be in a relationship. I thought I would be in love. I thought that there would be some physical manifestation
that I would recognize. Optimum bliss, right?
And I wasn't there. That's not what I had. And so there was a part of me going, you failed. You just spent a whole year in silence for nothing.
Oh, that was not what the universe had for you. Stick a pin, my friend. We have another caller. And caller, I have your line open. Your last four digits are 1111. If you're just listening, you may tell me that. If you have a remark or a comment or a question, you may state that. Tell us your name and where you're calling from, please.
Well, my name is Rich from Connecticut. And
hello, Rich.
Have
how
another
are
great
you?
Show.
Thank
oh, I'm
you.
Doing
thank
fine.
You.
And this is, I'd say, one of your top five best shows that I've heard and been behind the camera with when you've had a guest.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I have to tell Rodolfo who you are. Rodolfo, Richard, he is my number one cameraman on my TV show.
Oh,
he's
nice.
Been he's been volunteering for me for how many years, Richard?
Oh, it's just about as long as you've been on
14,
Community
14
Access
years.
TV.
14
yes,
years, 14 years, 14 years. So do you have a question for Rodolfo?
No, other than he's a very remarkable man. I don't think I could hold a candle to him, you know. He's just a special person, and I enjoy listening to him, and he would be great if we could get him on the show.
On the TV show. We got to figure that out with technology. With technology now, I think we have to talk to Mr. David and see how we can arrange that.
Yes, well,
how
you have
did
a good
I
following.
Know you were going to say that, huh?
You have a good following, you know. So there's a lot of people not only in Southern Connecticut but all over.
Yes, yes. So we have to talk to Mr. David Suero and see how we can arrange to have set it up. Because remember once we did a lady from out west on the TV show, so I'm sure we'll be able to do this.
Yes, well, you know, there are things to consider, you know, time zone and things like that, but I don't think you could get more than, you could never get, I don't think, anybody that's more interesting than the topic tonight.
I think so. Thank
you, Richard, for that.
Thank you
okay,
so
I'll
much,
continue
Richard.
Okay, listening, and God bless you, Daphne, and
thank you.
Hopefully take care tomorrow in the storm.
Thank you, my brother. Give my love to Masha.
I will. I'll just listen,
thank
okay?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, Rodolfo, God has blessed me with some phenomenal people that keep supporting me in the work that I do. It's amazing. I had my eyes on Richard to help me for the show, and I waited because he didn't say yes in the beginning. And when he did turn up one time, I looked at my watch and I said, oh, why is he turning up so early for the other show? We didn't even start yet. And I said to him, well, hello, Mr. Merritt. I mean, are we late or something? He said, no, ma'am, I'm here for you. And he has not stopped. He has not stopped coming since that, you know. Rain, sleet, and shine, he's there. So I'm grateful for the phenomenal team that I have. So I want to welcome guest 1-757-1883-1901-1913 to the chat. Let us know if you have a question. We have 30 approximately 40 minutes remaining in this conversation, so get on the phone, 646-915-8166. My honored guest is Mr. Rodolfo Young. So back to you, Rodolfo. It's amazing. You went in there, and although you weren't focusing on your selfish desires for 11 months and 3 weeks, coming down to the wire, your ego and yourself took over again, and you became judgmental. What was that time like for you?
So, yeah, so in that last week, I started to find myself being really judgmental, and when I looked down into it, realizing that it was because I was judging myself for thinking that I had failed. Mm-hmm. And when I started to look at that, I started to really ask myself, what is it that I've been doing for this last year? Mm-hmm. Because I thought that what I was doing was seeking something. I thought I was looking for an answer, a solution, a proof that things were okay, and mm-hmm. something to discover. Mm-hmm. When really, and this is what I've learned, the heart, love, fulfillment, your purpose isn't something you discover. It's something that you uncover.
Ooh.
You see, we have
say
so many
again,
stories.
Say that again, my brother. You got to
say I'll
that
say again.
Slower.
I'll Woo. Say it again. Your heart, that space of purpose, of passion, of love, is something that you discover. It's something that you uncover.
Mm.
Because
mm.
we spend so much time looking for what it might look like, and that's a story. Mm. And that story,
yeah.
we place like a layer or a blanket on top of who we already are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why now what I teach and with my mission to inspire 1 million hearts, when I say that, what I'm saying is I want to help people go back in and
mm-hmm.
uncover the authentic expression that's been waiting to sing and shout and express into the world
Ooh.
In a way that gets to not only fulfill them with purpose, but that leads to the inspiration of those around them.
Oh,
that's a mission.
Oh, can you imagine when we all uncover our purposes? Can you imagine a world where we live in where entrepreneurs, small business people, other people are just living authentically and not focusing on things like competition? Because when we uncover who we really are and what we are supposed to be doing, there's no competition because
yeah.
we are walking in uniqueness and authenticity.
Exactly.
Woo! I'm telling you, man. I am telling you. I'm telling you, Rodolfo, there's so much of me in you, it's not funny. I love it. Come on, folks. Let the phone line ring. Come on, you guys in the chat room. Do you have any questions?
Bring any questions. I love answering.
Yeah, don't be shy. Don't be shy. Call in 646-915-8166. So for the people who are listening, and whether they are listening live or on the archive, and they decide that, you know something? I want to start following my heart some more. I want to do what that gentleman says. I want to uncover my true purpose and calling and stay true to that. If you would give them a checklist, before I finish my thought, I want to welcome an unfeeling corner. Welcome to the show. Let's know whether you have a question. If you do, you can either call in 646-915-8166 or you may write it in the bottom section. So what kind of a checklist, if any, would you want to give a starter?
Well, I would say that there are three very distinct actions and practices that somebody has to do to find their authentic expression.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one is awareness. It's
mm-hmm.
literally just becoming aware of what's real in this moment. Where are you at right now? Because most people are so busy trying to figure out how to get to where they want to go that
mm-hmm.
they haven't actually defined the place they're at, or they haven't accepted
exactly.
it, and that's the second step, is actually accepting where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way that I can put that is, imagine you go on Amazon.com, and you're searching for that self-help book to help you figure out who you are, and maybe you'll come across a book that says, you know, who are you? And it's a 9-step guide to self-discovery, which, by the way, is my book. And you go on there. Selfless promo. You go on there and you find this book, and the subtitle literally says, "This is for you, Daphne." And so whatever your name is out there that's listening right now, and you go, "Wow, yeah, that's the book. That's exactly what I want." And you go to it, you click on it, you read the description, you get even more excited. You click on the order form, and it takes you over, and, you know, it gets your billing information, and you're happy to pay something because you know it takes an investment in self to discover self. It takes an investment to really open to your greatest potential. And that's not just financial, but it's an investment of time, of energy, of presence. And so you do that. You put that information easy. And then you click the next thing, and it says shipping information, your shipping address, where to send this guide, this book, this resource for you to take yourself where you want to go. And you sit there kind of dumbfounded going, "Well, I actually don't know where I am right now for you to send it." And that's the issue of, if you haven't become aware and accepted the actual place that you're beginning from, then all the resources that are just waiting, they're waiting to be sent to you. They're waiting at your doorstep, that they can't reach you.
That's
and
right.
So the first thing that I would tell people is become aware and accept exactly where you are now. And the acceptance of it isn't to say that you're saying, "Okay, this is how it has to be." It's to accept it as the reality. Sometimes we like to deny it. We, you know, let's say you're in a difficult relationship and there's tensions over something. But you're constantly telling yourself, "No, no, we're fine." Well, you can accept that the reality, and if you don't accept that, then you have no power
to do
something about it, to communicate about it, to connect to it, to you know, in whatever way needs to organically shift. It can't happen until you actually accept what's there.
That's the first one. What's number three? And then we have a caller. We're going to go to the caller after you state number three. Just hold with me, caller. What's number three, Rodolfo?
So number one, awareness. Number two, acceptance. And then number three just happens. It's called choice.
Choice.
When you become aware and you fully become accepting in this moment of what the reality is, a choice will come up. And it's not a choice of go do this or go do that. It's a choice of, are you going to surrender to where the flow of life is taking you now, or are you going to resist it? That's the choice. Surrender or resist.
Beautiful.
So those are the three aspects.
Awareness, acceptance, and choices. I want to, Roy hung up. Okay, Roy, call back in. I had a caller, Roy Mustang 24. So call back in, Roy. I apologize that you got disconnected. So we'll continue the conversation. I'm going to presume that Roy was a gentleman. So would you call back in, Roy, please? I cannot call you because I don't know what your dialing number is. It said Roy Mustang 24. So if you would call back in, we would appreciate you. I promise you, the minute you call back in, I'm going to nip it in the bud with Rodolfo and I let you go live. So that's a promise. So, let me come. I want to see some activity in the chat room. Let me hear from you guys. Is this good or is it good or is it good? I want to hear from you. Listen, the number to call is 646-915-8166. And while you're at it, and I'm allowing Rodolfo to take a sip of water, I want you to save the date for March the 25th. That's when I will be celebrating my anniversary show. That's going to be my sixth year on the air here on Blog Talk Radio. So what my plan is to bring back as many of the past experts as I possibly can for that conversation. So I want you to message me if there are any special guests that you want to have back. You can send me a message to dynamicdaphne1@gmail.com, or you go right here on the radio show and leave a message for me saying who that guest is. And I will bring the guests back. The only guest you can't request back is my mentor, my former mentor and coach, Dr. Miles Monroe, because he took his wings and he went home to heaven. So, unfortunately, we will not be able to have him back. So, the number to call, 646-915-8166. I need questions from the chat room, calls on the phone from Roy Mustang 24. If you are listening, please call back in. So, yes, you gave us three easy steps. There's nobody that can't do this. And as a matter of fact, they are not secrets. I mean, to me, these are just simple affirmations that you gave us, because these are things that we all were hearing from when we were children. We just need to implement them.
Yeah.
Going back to basics.
And I think that's the thing is, these steps are very simple. The majority of truths in the world and in life are incredibly simple.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere along the way, we've all been conditioned to stop giving ourselves permission to act on them.
Yes.
And
yes.
So that's what, in all the talks that I do, whether it's here like on radio or it's live, I do a lot of inspirational talks live,
mm-hmm.
or if it's my coaching, the two main aspects that I always focus on with every single person, whether student, client, listener, is acceptance, permission.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Acceptance first to figure out, okay, where are you? What's going on? What's your situation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all
mm-hmm.
these different things. And acceptance of your authentic uniqueness. Because
mm-hmm.
I like to say that your authenticity is your most attractive quality.
Oh, yeah. I just did,
so,
I apologize. Go ahead.
No worries. Oh, so... first is that acceptance, and then the second piece, that permission, is because we have to get past all of the conditioning. We have to get past all of these different things that have made you believe that you can't act your authentic expression out, that you can't bring it to the world. And
that's
so that
right.
permission is so important. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I often like to say, because I'll get clients that will come to me and maybe they want to start a business, and they go, oh, but I've never done a business. I have no businesses. I need to go and get educated, and I need to do this, and I don't have to, and they have all these doubts and all these things that they say they have to do before.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I say to them, I go, okay, maybe that's going to be part of the series of steps. But
that's
before
right.
you can do that, do you know you have permission to do it?
Exactly.
You have permission
exactly.
to do it right now.
Now, exactly.
And
right
that now. That is what allows the impetus. Because then
mm-hmm.
you have, you know, a wind behind you that is moving you instead of you
that's
having
right.
to
forward,
run up the hill,
propelling
you're being
you. Yep.
taken up the hill.
Mhm, mhm. It's like a boat out on the ocean, a small thing, and you want the wind to propel the sail so you can move forward. And this is exactly what giving ourselves permission is doing for us.
Exactly.
You know, I was excited when I heard you mention about acceptance, because the beginning of this year I started doing some daily videos, and one of the ones I did a couple weeks ago was on self-acceptance, mm-hmm. and I've been getting some messages. I still have to ask the universe to show me how to have those people to start commenting on the thing on YouTube, on the little box, so that people will read it. I love when you send me the messages too, but I want you to put it out there so other people can read it. Because I know that self-acceptance for some people, it is so challenging, because they don't tend to forgive themselves of whatever happened in their life, and the universe has set them free. The world is there with outstretched arms to embrace them. Yet, they are holding themselves down in the valley. You know, you toss the ladder down and they're not even stepping on the first run. You throw the rope down and you say, I'm here. Put it around your waist, pulling you up. It's not going to be as much effort on your part. And yet, They don't want to do it. And this is why conversations like the one we are having now is so on time. Because people really need to know that it's okay to give themselves permission.
Yeah.
I want to go back. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think often it's not even a case of whether they want to do something. Mm-hmm. It's a case of whether they believe that they deserve it. And
that's
where this uncovering matters,
mm-hmm.
because it's only the stories of lack of self-worth, doubt, mm-hmm. Well, no, that's for somebody else, or I don't have enough, or I'm not trained enough. Those are all the stories that are laying on top of the part of you that doesn't mm-hmm. have to prove anything.
That's right.
If we go back to this idea of connection and, you know, finding your authentic expression, I like
mm-hmm.
to think of it like a puzzle piece. Each
mm-hmm.
one of us is a unique puzzle piece, and we fit perfectly into connection with everybody else.
That's right.
So often, because we've come up with a story where we're looking at that puzzle piece over on the corner, and we're like, yeah, but, I mean, I don't look like that, so I can't be in the puzzle. No, they're playing their part. You got to play your part.
You know, if I am a perfect example of that. If I was sitting around to wait to go to journalism school, I would not have been on this radio show, and neither would I have been running the cable TV show for 14 years, because I would
mm-hmm.
still be waiting around to go to journalism school, you know? But when I was called to do it, I know that God has already graduated me from journalism school, and all I had to do was to go out there and do what he wanted me to do. I'm not discrediting or dishonoring anyone who has gone there. But when you uncover your purpose, you don't have to sit around and wait for all the man-made credentials. You are followed through, because when you become obedient and you show up, You are given the criteria to follow through. Because Daddy certify all of us, you know. I've gone to school, you have gone to school, Rodolfo, and many more people who are going on. But moving forward is not dependent on the accolade that we have gotten from these institutions. We
mm-hmm.
are operating from our authentic place. We are connected with our hearts. We are connected with our souls and know the importance of the opportunity right now to have this conversation. When I scheduled this conversation with you, you could have well said to me, oh, no, it's Super Bowl Sunday. I can't do it. Let's do it next week. Instead, you didn't say that. You said yes.
Yeah.
And that's what, this is what, when your heart centered, that's what we do. We say yes to the moment, and knowing that there are people who need the message right now.
Yeah.
Is there anything on your lovely heart that we haven't touched yet that you wanted to tap into?
Yeah, there's a few things for sure. One that just came up as you were sharing, you know, this element of when you drop into the heart, the answer
mm-hmm.
is yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes to that ability to express your authenticity. And
mm-hmm.
I'll often say to people, imagine that you're walking down the street and you see somebody on the phone, and whatever just happened on the phone just brought this huge smile to their face.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know exactly why they're smiling. But what do? For the people who are listening right now and who might listen later on the archive, think about that. What would you do if you saw somebody smiling really big in public, they're on their phone, you normally smile too. You can't
mm-hmm.
help it. It's contagious.
You can't hear what's smiling. Yep.
Yeah. Now switch the role. You're the one that's on the phone. You've got this big smile on your face. You know why you've got the smile. And you notice that somebody just saw you. Now, many of you have probably sheepishly taken your smile down because you
mm-hmm.
thought to yourself, you got self-conscious, and you're like, oh, they're going to think I'm silly. They're going to think, what's that guy smiling about, you know, or
mm-hmm.
that woman smiling about? And that's the piece that becomes a story and a layer and a blanket on top of your power.
Mm-hmm.
Take that away. Remember what the effect was for you when you saw somebody else authentically expressing. You couldn't help but tap into the resonance of your authentic expression, and it revealed itself as a smile, as joy, as fulfillment in the moment. That's
beautiful.
The yes.
Yes, yes. Woo! This is good stuff. This is good stuff. Listen, callers, we only have 19 minutes and 24 seconds remaining, so now is the time to pick up the phone. Now is the time to start typing at the bottom there. Yes, before I announced the last time, you were saying something. I cut you off.
I was just going to say, this is what my mission to inspire a million hearts is about. This is what I live for, is getting to share in this way, because if in my sharing authentically and expressing and getting all excited about it and passionate in my purpose, if that can incite a flame inside somebody else to do the same, then I don't have to inspire a million hearts. I just have to inspire a few thousand, and then that keeps rippling out. You know?
Going, exactly,
so
exactly.
It's such a beautiful opportunity. Thank you, Daphne, for bringing me on the show
to
share like this.
Oh, you're so welcome, Rodolfo, because you remember what we said when we were in the virtual green room?
Mm-hmm.
So long as we inspire one more heart together, we were going to have three hearts.
Yes.
Remember? That was the only promise we made. And we knew we turned up, and we knew one more person was going to turn up. And not only did one more person turn up, but several others turn up. I know people are listening online. Some people are multitasking. And it's okay, because we know you don't want to miss out on the Super Bowl food and all of that. You're multitasking. So we still love you guys. We still love you. I see you out there. So now is the time, 17 minutes. We're going to be summarizing soon.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to continue the conversation. So
yeah.
As you go ahead, Rodolfo.
Here's the lovely thing, is that even if you're multitasking, even if you're doing some other stuff, we're talking about the heart. And
I did
a year in silence to learn that the heart has a resonance that is not in the words. It's not something you hear, yet you still listen. It's not something you speak, yet you still communicate. It's something that penetrates to the very core of who you are. So even if you're washing dishes, even if you're watching the Super Bowl, even if you're, out mowing the lawn and you have some earphones on and you're half listening, it's all going down deep. And tomorrow morning
inside
you're going to wake
your
up
heart.
With a big smile on your face going, whoa, I get it.
Were you in the DR last year? And I can't remember his name that did the I think he's from New York, and I forgot his name. He did the workshop on hugging, the proper way of hugging.
No, I heard about it. I was supposed to be in DR for Awesomeness Fest, and Vishen, the founder of Mind Valley and Awesomeness Fest, actually was asking me to lead that kind of a workshop in Bali when Awesomeness Fest was there. So I'm a big proponent of hugs. Love hugs.
Oh, it was powerful, let me tell you. The entire, 350 people, after that workshop, people were just weeping, 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 weeping. It was so powerful. It was so powerful. It was so powerful. Come on, guys, let me hear from you. Please show us some love. 646-915-8166. I wish Roy would call back in. Roy Mustang 24, you got dropped off the line, and caller 610575, and you know your last four digits, you know what they are. It begins with a 9 and end with a 1. You got dropped off the line. Call back in so we can get your feedback.
And Roy,
yes.
And anybody else who has questions and may not have been able to ask them today, I am available online. You can find me either at RodolfoYoung.com or through my mission site, Inspire 1 Million Hearts. And, as questions come up, please reach out. And Roy also, especially, whatever gets to come through, whatever was listened to before and continues to be listened to now, I'm sure each and every one of you is getting the exact message you need. And that's that's what brings my heart to a fullness.
Beautiful. I love it. And listen, we are down to 14 minutes and 38 seconds. I'm going to give you an opportunity, Rodolfo, to summarize your conversation. Should anyone ask a question or should the phone ring, I will disturb your summary to address the person. I want to thank you again for your commitment and your investment of time, knowledge, and information in my journey. I look forward to us doing this together for a long, 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 long time. So I hand you the microphone.
Thank you, Daphne. So I guess in summary, you know, I'm the man who spent a year in silence, 365 days not speaking, yet not retreating either. I was in the world. I got to interact with people, and I got to interact at a level of resonance rather than words. Even as I traveled or even sometimes sitting down with people, it was amazing to just sit, look into their eyes, and suddenly find, you know, emotion come up, whether it was tears or joy or smiles, whatever it was real. And that's what my mission's about, is I want to help people find the authentic, genuine realness that's inside of them and let it out, because if you're not, you are cheating the world of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You are cheating them of a message and inspiration and expression that could be so inspiring for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ask that anybody who's listening and who gets to listen later on the archives know that as you open into your heart, as you drop into that space of acceptance and self-expression of your authenticness, that that ripples out into the world in a way that can change the world.
Mm-hmm.
A big part of my mission to inspire 1 million hearts, which, again, you can find at inspire1millionhearts.com, with actual number one, is to help people with their self-discovery. It's also one of the books that I have out there, which you can get as part of my free Beginner's Heart Kit. If you go to my site, rodolfoyoung.com, or even if you just Google, I love Google, Google Heart Coach Rodolfo, and that's R-O-D-O-L-F-O, you're going to find a whole bunch of great content that's there just to share with you. And from there, you can go to my Facebook page. You can go to a number of different places to go and sign up for the Beginner's Heart Kit. And what that is it's a series of inspirational messages, quotes, videos, this book on self-discovery. It's my most popular book that's out. A breathing technique, even, just to help you center. Anything that I can give and help you towards finding that space of your heart, authenticity, acceptance, and expression, I'm here to do. So please do join me in all that and share your questions out there. Share what your passion is, your purpose. I want to hear it all. I'm all about connection. So those are the ways you can reach me. Also,
okay,
in summary,
all right. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was saying we have 11 minutes.
Yeah. You know, getting to drop into the heart, I know it can sometimes be scary. Because the primary stories that we have put, and these were the first stories, because there's levels, right? You have your heart, which is this fullness. It's this powerful, powerful light that's waiting to shine into the world. And then maybe something happened in your life, and you may not even remember it because it may have been at such a young age, that caused a bit of sadness. And sadness doesn't mean that something bad happened. It means that something changed. You see, every time something changes, we have a little bit of grief because we have to reconcile the shift in our world. And if we haven't reconciled that, then this little grief builds up and it becomes this little layer. And then we start building all these layers. And sometimes that core layer that's right above our heart is the most difficult one to move through because it's the one that has the most potent emotion. Above that, we might get angry. Above that, we might get numb. Above that, we keep putting more stories. So here's what I suggest when I talk to people about dropping into the heart space. I don't think it's a good idea to go trying to dig through the layers to reach it because it's going to be a lot. But rather, give yourself permission to just be in your heart and from your heart, from a space of love and acceptance, self-acceptance. You give that permission to start to grow, and like a warm fire that's deep inside you, it starts to melt these layers above
layers
it,
away.
Which
ooh,
means
like
that
a candle
coming down into that deep emotional layer where you're like, ah, I don't want to ever face that. That's why people get freaked out about being silent, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Is you go from inside to the place that feels great. It's the place inside mm-hmm. you that's like, yeah, this is who I am. It's the, I'll give you an example. It's the place that you're in when you're home alone and you got some great music playing and you know nobody's watching and you start dancing.
Mm-hmm.
That's that place. I want you to be there all the time. You go from that place, you let it just start to grow. It starts to melt away all these other layers effortlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And so suddenly it's at the surface and the people around you start to see it and they're looking and they're going, I don't know what's changed about you. Nothing has actually has. But it feels so good to see you fulfilled, and I'm feeling fulfilled now. That would be my biggest contribution to you, whether it's if you come and join me later with other aspects on my website, on through my books, through all these things, or just after listening to this, is that you realize you have the permission to drop into your heart right now and let that feeling start to grow.
Woo! That is so good. That is so good. Take, we still have a few minutes remaining. Still looking for questions and calling. So would you be kind enough again to repeat slowly, because people will probably need to write it down, the places that they can connect with you and find your books and everything?
Yes, yeah. So the primary place you can go to is my main website, rodolphoyoung.com, and that's RODOLFOYOUNG.com. You can also find me on Facebook. Just look up Facebook, Heart Coach Rodolfo, Facebook.com/HeartCoachRodolfo. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest. And I'm all over the place. If you Google Heart Coach Rodolfo or Inspire 1 Million Hearts, you'll find somewhere that I've created a channel to reach more hearts through. I do have a self-discovery book, which is one of my most popular books selling now. I'm an author of about 5 books, and I'll be republishing a few of them and putting them back out into the mainstream. But my most popular one is called Who Are You? It's a 9-step guide to self-discovery. It's the book that came out of my silent practice. So in the year of my silence, towards the end, I started writing this book because of all the insights and inspirations that I was having into what it means to really dive within. So that's a great book to check out. You can get that at rodolphoyoung.com/the book. I know these links are very difficult, aren't they? you can do that. You can find me on YouTube under youtube.com/authenticitymuse. I'll also start putting all of my videos up onto Facebook as well. And so you can find it there and share the messages from there. I do have one thing that I've just begun, and I'm actually really excited about this. It's what I'm calling the Inspired Hearts Club. And essentially, I realized that I only have so many hours in the day. But I want to reach all of you. I want to be able to talk with all of you. I want to coach and sit and be present to each and every one of you. But I just don't have enough time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realized if I did it in groups, that would be much better. Because not only is it then my energy working with you, but it's the group energy. And that's always more powerful. And so the Inspired Hearts Club is a private Facebook group where I do heart coaching calls. I am active within the group, sharing different inspirations and sharing coaching ideas and insights and things like that. So that you can go and you can find that also on my Facebook page. If you just go to facebook.com/heartcoachRodolfo, you'll see that there is a link there for that. You can also find it through the link on the Inspire1MillionHearts.com site, as well as the Facebook page for Inspire1MillionHearts. Both of them will have direct access to that so that you can jump right in. It is a paid membership. It's only $10 per month. That helps me continue moving into the world and sharing this message. Thank you very much, everybody.
Oh, wonderful. And I have to tell everybody that you see the new look on my Facebook fan page. That classy new look was created by Rodolfo. So I want to thank you, Rodolfo. So for those of you, there are many, 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 many sides besides his spiritual side to him. So if that's something that you are looking to do to get a prominent presence on social media, he's the guy for you to talk to, because he just ramped up my appearance the other day. So check him out for all of that if that's something that you are looking to do. Again, I honor you. I show gratitude and appreciation for you. I know that we'll definitely have you back here, because there is so much we did not touch on this episode. So I want to thank you. And I know that when the time is right, that you will be back. And I know my crew is going to be working on some way to get you on the TV show. So just be ready so that when that call comes, I know we need to do it before you leave to go back to Bali, because it's going to be time frame wise, it's going to be easier for us to do it from Houston than it would be in Bali. So I'll just wait on Mr. Richard and all the crew to tell me what it is they want us to do. So again, my brother, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Continue doing God's work. I'm only a phone call, a Skype, a FaceTime away, because I know that the universe did not bring us together by accident. There is a reason for this, and I promise that I will stay committed to the call. I will turn up ready to be instructed on what my next task is. Stay well, my brother, and I will be speaking with you soon. And for those of you who tune in tonight, I want to thank you. I want to remind you that you were called for a destiny. I want you to always come back and listen to this archive. Download it on the radio site and on iTunes. Share it, share it, share it, share it, share it. Because if it's one gift that you can give somebody for a birthday, let this be the gift you give them, this episode, because it will change their lives. Thank you so much, everyone, and continue to follow your destiny.
Call it destiny. Will you let me know? What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
Directing me. hallelujah, to my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord, thank you for showing me, hallelujah, and directing me. Speak to it, my destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this place. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this place. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. See the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations.